All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing and he was just kind of going back and forth on one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways and he turned back over to the other way. And he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This podcast that I have right now was supposed to have been released before Halloween, but I'm just now getting to it. The one after this too was supposed to be released before Halloween, like a Halloween episode. But you know, things have happened in my life, my personal life, where I kind of needed to slow down and focus on some other things. But anyways, I got these episodes out. Or that I'm working on right now. I got them recorded. I'm just, you know, going through and editing everything and making sure it's all right. But the one after this episode is going to be a members only episode because there's four of us that speak on that one. We all actually came together to collaborate for a Halloween episode. And the guy that recorded it all, we basically went on his podcast, a War Cry podcast. And that's whose episode is, you know, this one right here that we're going to be getting into here soon. Is him, Yehola Tiger from the Cherokee tribe. And he knows a lot about, you know, his ways, his actually, you know, Cherokee, because there's a lot of folks out there that claim this and that have been told this in their families and, you know, come to find out it ain't true. But anyways, he's one of the Cherokee people. And I want to say he lives in Nebraska or is it, you know, Oklahoma is where he's from. So anyways, we talk a lot about, you know, he shares a lot of stories. We kind of go back and forth in this episode, so it's a pretty good one too. But the one following this one is going to be there's four people and they're talking, and, you know, there's three of us, we're podcasters that are native, and then there's another one who runs the Facebook group, Ghost Stories, the original Ghost Stories from the Rez, and she's from the Wind River Reservation. Well, anyways, that one's going to be members only, and it's almost a 3-hour long podcast. So, you know, to get back to the members only exclusive type material here, I figure I pretty much owe you guys that, and it's a good one. So, yeah, to give back to you guys for supporting the show, hanging in there, and, you know, that's going to be my gift to you guys for this one. Now, following that one, I don't know which way this one's going to go. But I have a person that I'm speaking with right now, and she's going to remain anonymous. But the stories that she shares, it's going to be a free episode. That one's going to be for everybody. And I'm hoping to get hers out next. We recorded half of it roughly, and we got to record the other half yet. And so that one's going to be done. I'm hoping to get that one recorded tonight. I'm thinking I could do that tonight. And then following that, here's this guy. He's been on the podcast before, but we're going to sit down and talk about spirituality, right? And the do's and the don'ts of being around, you know, the native people, their ceremonies, or just certain things you should avoid doing, because, you know, in my tribe and in our view of the world, we live in basically like a duality. You know, for everything in nature, there's a spirit to it, or a life force. So with that in mind, there comes a lot of things that you should really be aware of, or be wary of, that you shouldn't do or you should do, right? And so we're going to go into a lot of these conversations, kind of dive deep into spirituality in the native way. And so, you know, we'll be able to share the certain things that we can share. You know, obviously we ain't going to describe how to paint somebody if you have those rights, or we're not going to, you know, sing any songs that we have that are, you know, for certain ceremonies or whatever. You know, we're going to do things like that, but we'll kind of go over and basically explain what it is, you know. And like for one thing, there's just like little things, right? Like these little things that you could understand. For one, like say there was somebody that had like this medicine that we call a beaver bundle. Well, when you go up to their house to knock, you know, to go visit or whatever, you're not supposed to knock on their door. You know, this is kind of like the older way. You're not supposed to knock on their door, you know, because, those beavers, you don't, in nature, you don't bother their lodges. You'll get them scared too. So it's kind of the same with the people that hold that medicine, you know. So you don't knock on their door. Well, anyways, we'll go into things like that. And that's just kind of an example. And I'm pretty sure I'll have my friend is kind of, you know, explain more into that and stuff like that. So that's what's coming up. These four episodes I want to get out before Christmas, because, like I said, I've been away from the podcast and I've had things going on in my personal life, which, you know, it's tough. Life gets really tough. And for all you people to understand that, you know, having family members that get really sick, or just being pushed, you know, really hard in your job, and realizing that, you know, the holidays are coming up, or you have kids in sports. There's just so many things that come up in your lives, and all we can do is hang in there. And, you know, that's what I've been doing lately, is just hanging in there and rolling with the punches, because, you know, this podcast, I really value the people that come on and speak with me and everything like that. And on the same note, I also realize that, you know, sometimes my family, I can't control what happens within my family, people getting sick and whatnot. So as much as I'd like to be around it at all the time, and I'd like to just do this for a living and quit working. That would be really nice if this could actually pay all the bills. But, you know, unfortunately, it's not there, and it doesn't do that just yet. You know, maybe someday it will. Who knows? But so I just wanted to kind of provide this update for everybody to understand what's going on, and that the podcast is still going. You know, I think about it a lot, and there are times where, like I said, I would really like to get out there and hit this hard, but, you know, my job kind of holds me down, and my family, you know, dealing with certain things within the family, you know. Kids being in sports is a big one too, you know, because sports is happening, you got to be there for your kids. So, and you know, the podcast is really my hobby, and anybody out there that has a really good hobby, you know how much you would love to do that hobby forever, but there's got to be a balance in your life as well, and sometimes things get out of whack, but you know, you'll always come back to it, right? And that's okay to you know, be distracted from here and there, because things do happen, and you got to refocus your priorities at certain times. And you know, I'm just glad that everybody's still here and listening to the podcast, and you know, supporting the show, because it really does mean a lot to me. I like doing this, you know, I really enjoy it, and I like getting the content out there for everybody, you know, especially the folks, like I've said before, the folks that are out there away from their reservations, or even from my tribe, the Blackfeet tribe. And if you're away, you know, you really get to hear these things, and it feels good to listen to these stories and to listen to people from where you're from. And it's just one of these things that will almost instill some pride in you too. Like, hey man, check this out. This is from my hometown, and you know, so it always gives me a enjoyment to know that people are liking it. You know, and it gives them a little taste of home. And yeah, I'm thinking of you, TJ Running Wolf, and your wife and your kids. I'm thinking of you in particular when I'm saying this. So, anyways, the next shows, like I said, there's going to be two frees and then two members only episodes, and we'll have those out. So I guess without any more messing around or balking here, let's get into the show.
My name is Yehola Tiger. I am Cherokee, Muscogee Creek, and I was born and raised in the northeast section of Oklahoma. I currently reside in the Tulsa area, but a lot of my stories that I'll be telling tonight, and I appreciate Rod, you having me on. You did my podcast, and I wanted to say I appreciate you allowing me to come on yours as well. But my stories, growing up, you always hear, oh, you're not supposed to go outside at night, or you're like, you hear different stories about don't hoot, you know, or like scary stories like owls. Like my Muscogee Creek family, owls are kind of a spooky thing. It's something that you get kind of scared about. And as I've gotten older, you know, I start to understand it's more of a message thing. Mm-hmm. And I know we kind of briefly talked about it on my podcast. I guess I am the host of the Warcry podcast. I don't know if I said that or not, but my podcast is located everywhere. And so, you know, like I said, growing up, I was always, me and my brother was always kind of messing around. We just kind of menaces. We just kind of knuckleheads, you know, just kind of not really listening sometimes. Now, not all the times, but sometimes, but I remember being a little guy, my grandpa, who he passed away in 2021, he would always tell me these stories about family members, or he'd talk about not like, don't do this or don't do that, or he'd always just kind of tell us. And one day I go, well, tell me a scary one. And he goes, okay. You know, he's sitting there. He'd always, you know, I ask him, hey, tell me a Thai snake story, or tell me a Bigfoot story, or you know, what is, you know, what do we believe? What is the beliefs? You know, just asking. But we used to go to this park, and I've told this story before, but I always start interviews with this story because I want you guys to understand kind of it's different, a little bit different here in Oklahoma. Because, you know, you got cities, you know, our res is like, so Cherokee Nation res ends north side of Tulsa. And it ends over there, kind of out there by Gore and Porham, and then as you go west, you hit Muscogee Creek, and that's encompasses Tulsa, which is the second largest city in Oklahoma. So, natives here, Indians here, are a little bit different. You know, I mentioned on my podcast that Rod's out in the middle of, you know, of a res, and kind of almost in the middle of nowhere. It sounds like, but you know, I'm city Indian. That's what I always call myself. I'm country. I got country. My mom's side's a bunch of ranchers, and they own a bunch of cattle and land, you know, that they worked hard for. Mm-hmm. And my mom's other side is Cherokee, so that's kind of where that Cherokee side. And plus my dad's side's got Cherokee in it too. So, but he used to always tell the story when he's kind of just, I guess we might probably mess around, but it always used to really scare me because it just made me feel like anything can pop up and get you. And the story goes, you know, one night at Merle Home Park, there's this young kid. He just wasn't doing right. He just wasn't acting right.
Yeah.
And he sneaks out of his house and he heads down to Merle Home Park, and he looks, and there's a lot of times in that creek, it gets real dry. and it's not, you know, there's not a lot of water going through there. So you get little, like almost like a rock bank a little bit, and then, you know, the water. Well, he saw a small fire going down up that by that creek over there, kind of about under, almost underneath the bridge. There's a bridge that goes over the creek that goes into the trails. And those trails are haunted. I'll tell those stories here in a minute. But he goes down there and he sees that real low fire. And he's like, oh, what is going on down here? Just, maybe I'll come down and hang out for a while. And he goes and he sees this man, this hooded figure, you know, kind of just hanging out. And he looks. He's like, okay, you know, I guess I'll go down here. And he said, the gentleman goes, hey, how's it going? Come down here. Come hang out for a while. And the guy goes, okay. Or the kid goes, okay, yeah. And so they're sitting there talking, you know, just kind of back and forth. And all of a sudden he sees that fire getting real, real low. And he's like, oh, the man, the hooded man, said, hey, let me go ahead and get some firewood. Let me get this fire going again. And the boy looks, and he's like, man, he kind of noticed that the guy was real tall. He looks, he's like, man, he's real, real tall. And he looked up, and he could see him. And then when he looked down, the man had had hooves for feet.
Oh.
And I get goosebumps telling that, because I can imagine that in my head. You know, all the times that I went down there at Merlehome Park, out in kind of Park Hill area outside of Tahlequah. I guess it's still Tahlequah, but, you know, it's called Park Hill Community. But we always used to go down there, and, you know, we'd run the trails, and my grandpa always knew the inside track on a lot of things in Tahlequah, because he went to college there, and he knew a lot of people who was in charge of the Sequoia Indian School over there. And so he always knew things, and he'd always say, yeah, there's a lot of bad things that have happened here. People, I don't know if I should say the S word, you know, they unalive themselves, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that over there. You know, there's just been a lot of weird stuff going on. The land itself at Merlehome was owned. It's a different name now. I will always call it Merlehome because that's just how I always thought about it. But that house that sits on that next to that park, we used to go out there at during Easter time, and we'd go out there and, you know, kind of just, I guess you could say, Easter hunt or Easter egg hunt, and we'd, you know, get eggs. Cherokee Nation, I think, we put it on, I believe. But as I got older, I got into, you know, went to Cherokee camp, you know, got to keep the language alive. And you know, we'd go to these camps. And, you know, I just had some buddies over, was it Friday night? And I forgot all my friends went. I was like, dang, I didn't even remember nobody. But it's just one of those things you just forget after a long time. We was talking about some spooky stuff. And, the house has a long history of kind of being real spooky. And as I got older, we get to Cherokee camp, and, you know, they were like, well, you know, let's talk about Merlehome. And so they gave the history and all this stuff. And I can't quite remember a lot of the history. I just know it's haunted. But one of the ladies, she came out and was just talking about it and was saying that, you know, they, on security cameras, they would see basically furniture move. So like over the course of the night, you see like a chair move from one side of the room.
Oh.
And like it just would move on, you know, like,
yeah,
kind of creepy like that. And then they'd show up and the chair was normal. It was back to where it was. And they'd go back and look at the camera and you could see that chair just moving. It's like a centimeter out. It's like real slow, like over the course of the night. And then they'd come back and it'd be back in that spot.
And this was place you guys went to camp at. They had cameras in there?
No, I'm sorry. The Cherokee camp was over at Sequoia High School. I'm sorry. So the Cherokee camp was at Sequoia High School, or Sequoia is Indian school. You know, you got to be Indian to go to that school. But,
oh, yeah.
But no, the Merlehome was, that's out in Park Hill. And I'm sorry I didn't clarify that. We were at the Cherokee camp at Sequoia High School, and the lady that worked there would tell us these stories.
Oh.
They'd see a man with a hat. He'd always be standing underneath this light. And I saw him one night when I was in high school, when I was a senior in high school. I saw him. We were driving. We was wilding out. We went down to the park, and I was trying to scare all these white people, man. I was trying to get them all spooked out. And, hell, he's out there, and, you know, nothing really happened. You know, you see, you know, shadows in the brush, you know, something, you know, running around. There was a lot of stray cats, and part of me thinks it might have been little people. And as we talk about Merle Home Park, you know, I got a little people story for them. But you know, we'd go out there. I went out there as a high schooler, and we was driving back. And me and my buddy, I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and my buddy that was driving, he wasn't looking. He's just looking at the road. But the buddy that was sitting behind him, I just happened out of the corner of my eye, see, it looked like a person. And I looked, and there was a real tall man standing underneath the light. Like, it was like the light was, you know, behind him, so you couldn't see his face or nothing.
Yeah.
And my buddy, as I said, "Well, look at that." My other buddy's like, "Oh, my God, is that a man?" We're like, "That's creepy." You know, he's all getting spooked out. My buddy looked over, and he saw it. He goes, "Oh, my God," he hits the gas. And so he basically whiskey throttled us almost off the road, you know, and he about wrecked. Because he got so, because he was kind of a scaredy cat. He was real, he didn't like none of that stuff. And so I said, "What is that?" And so he saw, and I said, "Man, ain't nobody out there. There ain't no caretakers out there. You know, there's just a little park out in the kind of the woods outside of Tahlequah." And then he about ran off the road and killed us. I was like, "God, get on the road." I had to grab the wheel and everything. But you know, you see those things out there. And it's, and the park is now closed down. It closed down a while ago, I'd say. I don't really remember what year, but as I was growing up there, we, you know, my Woodall is where I went to school. Woodall Wildcats, shout out of Tahlequah, Oklahoma. but we went out there for, I was in 4-H, and man, I hated 4-H. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had to bake cookies or something for Earth Day or something crazy, and I was like, "Man, I can't bake. I'm a good cook, but baking cookies, man, I'm out of it on that one." But so I'm like in second grade or whatever, first grade, and I'm like, "Man, whatever." You know, so my mom had to help me out. "So, Mom, you hear this, thank you. You know, I know I hit you up at, you know, this is kind of crazy, but I don't know if you've done this before, but like you had a school project the next day and you forgot to do it, and you was like, "Hey, Mom, I need this," you know, or "Dad," you know, whoever, you know, I need to get this before, you know, that's what it was like. Dang, do you hear that? It's like a train or something?
It's on my side. I wouldn't worry. Okay. I can't stop it. What it does is it regulates the water pressure. It comes in, it drives me nuts. I don't have the place soundproof, but it's on my end.
Okay. I didn't know if it was me, man. I didn't know if I needed to adjust some. That's why I want to make sure it sounds good for you.
All right. No, it's on me. Don't worry.
Okay. And so, you know, he's going to Earth Day over there. It was where the old fire station, or one of the fire stations, and it had like a little convention center where they used to have like semi-pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd go backstory, you know, I'd go out there and watch, I don't know if anyone knows who Christopher Daniels is. He went out there one time. He's a wrestler in AEW, or he was a wrestler in AEW and TNA.
Nice.
So we went out there for Earth Day, and you know, we're coming back, and they said, "Hey, let's stop over by Merle Home," because it's on the way to Woodall, the school. Mm-hmm. And so I had to stop over here and let's get something to eat. It was, you know, getting kind of dark. It was later in the day. I don't know if it was Earth Day, but something like that, with 4-H. And I can't ever remember what holiday or whatever, but it was something like an Earth Day where you try to recycle and stuff like that. But so we stop off, and we're sitting there, and we're all eating, and a lot of us go, "Hey, let's go play hide and go seek or tag or something up in the trails." And my grandpa always said, "You don't need to be in them trails by yourself, especially as a little kid at night, or, you know, towards dusk." And he always used to say that they might get you, and they is little people. They might kind of make you go off, you know, make you get on a trail, or, you know, make you follow and you'd be lost or whatever. You may never come back. And so we went out there, and, you know, it was getting kind of dark. It was, I know it was maybe late winter, I believe. Like, the time hadn't changed here yet. And so it get dark, you know, about 5 o'clock. And we end up, you know, going in there, and I end up getting tagged. So I'm it. So I'm counting, you know, everybody's running around or whatever. And next thing I know, I'm following, and I thought it was my buddy. My buddy was real fast, and so I could never catch him. He was just real fast. He was a Muscogee Creek kid. He could run, man. So I was really trying to get him. I was like inches away, I thought. And I went to, hit him on the back of the back, and it was like I missed. There was nothing there. And it was getting real kind of dark, and those trees made it darker in there. So I couldn't really see, and I was thinking I was chasing, my buddy. And next thing I look around, man, I'm in the middle of the woods. I'm not even on the trails anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just chasing this thing, whatever this was. And I remember getting real kind of nervous and like, okay, I got to look around and see where I'm at. And I could see the river or the creek. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow the creek back. And so I ended up getting them back on the trail. And it's by the time that I got out of there, it was dark. I mean, it was already dark outside. But it was weird. And I never really said this detail because I don't know if people understand what I'm saying. But basically, it was like I was in the forest and it was light. Like, you still see light coming through the trees. But then when I got out of the trail, it was like it was already getting dark. Like, it was already, like, the sun was already set. And, like, there was hardly any light coming through. And so my friend, they're yelling for me. I thought I heard my name, as I got closer. And so I, got to the bridge at the end of the trail. And all of a sudden I see, I hear them yelling for me. And I'm like, oh, what? Oh, okay. So I run over there and they're like, where were you been? We've been looking for you. I said, oh, I was chasing. I was... no, everybody was gone. So basically, when they tagged me in, I was the last person that was supposed to be it. And then, but I think they knew me out there, those whatever, little people or spirits, because I had went out there a lot growing up, every summer. I think they knew me, they knew my energy or they knew who I was, because when I went out there, everyone else was gone and I got tagged. And next thing I know, I'm like chasing a little, I think it's a little people, But
yeah, oh, that's pretty interesting, man, because I have something similar on my res. I grew up, way out there, and I'm pretty sure that when I go back down there that those spirits recognize me too. I got that same kind of feeling, I guess, or inclination to think that too. Hey, but I have a quick question. Going back to your first story that your grandpa used to talk about with that man that had the hoofs, did he say what kind of hoofs they were? Were they the split hoofs, like a deer or a goat?
I can't remember. I just remember the story. I don't remember. I'm the type that asks the detailed questions. That's just how I am. I'll say, well, what did it look like? Or I did ask him, but he told me that story. I might have been, first grade, kindergarten. I even asked him too. I remember asking him when he was older. I said, "Man," he said, he told me it again. And I said, "Oh," but I just didn't think about asking the question. But there was a lot of legends out there that there was something underneath those bridges. So there's a bridge that goes onto the trails, and then next to the house there was a road, a dirt road that went back up into like you're headed to Keys. I don't know. If people out there are from Oklahoma and they know where I'm talking about, Keys, America, in a little small town, like you're headed to Arkansas, like you take that road and you go through Cookson Hills kind of area, and you can, it's like the little area out there, but Ten Killer Lake is that way. But next to the house, there was a road, a dirt road, and I had heard legends growing up about, like kind of a goat man or some type of creature like that, or being, or however you want to say it, out there. And I had heard that. Now, if anyone has seen that or heard about that, I always thought growing up that story might have been true. And also too, I'm also wondering too if it was like, maybe if that was somebody, told my grandpa that story and he just used it as like a y'all better act right story. I don't know, but the moral of the story, though, is once the kid, once he got saw the hooves, he took off home and he kind of stopped acting, crazy. He started respecting his elders and things like that. So, as I got older, I think it was more of a moral story, like trying to, scare you into acting right, basically. But I had heard those stories growing up about something being out there. And if someone's willing to correct me that you're from that area, let me know. But yeah, I don't know what he said. I can't remember what kind of hooves, though.
You know, that it really makes me think, because So we have this goat man. That's what we call him. We call him goat man. And he looks the same way that you described. You know, he's got like a long coat on. And usually he's got a hat when he's in his human form. And that's kind of how he looks. But, you know, he'll have on... That coat will be long and you can't really see his feet. Every now and again, somebody will get a glimpse of his feet and they'll see that they're hoofs. And a lot of times they say he's got a tail, too, that kind of, you know, sticks out underneath the coat sometimes. But the interesting thing I think about that is it's not only on our res. Now you mentioned it on your res in Oklahoma. And the people down in Arizona, I listen to a lot of these Diné stories, and they have stories of it, too. And if I'm not mistaken, there's more stories of it in the Wind River Reservation, which is the Shoshone and Arapahoes in Wyoming. And I want to say there's even stories of it in the Lakota areas, too. So it's all over the place. It's all over the place in America. But the funny thing is, or I guess another interesting thing is that I know of, is that it wasn't here until, like in my tribe, until the whiskey traders showed up. Then that thing came, because it's not in our old stories that I know of. It's not. So it's kind of a relatively new thing, a new spirit. And, you know, it's not uncommon for people coming here or traveling all over the world for that matter, that whatever spirits that they have kind of follow with them and migrate with them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a thing, too. So I think that came with them and came here is kind of my...
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that's kind of crazy about, you know, especially the goat man in general. You know, it's I've always heard that it was like a French type, you know, being or deity, or again, I know Greek, the Greeks have their goat man, you know, or Pan is, you know, who they call, is who they, the deity that they have over there. But it's interesting, man, that you mentioned the whiskey thing and the alcohol. And I was always wonder too, like, which shout out to Riskers. Is this going to be out before Halloween?
Yes.
So I guess I can plug our show, our Halloween show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So on Halloween night, I have a gentleman by the name of Dono from Riskers, and I'll have Rod himself here. He'll be he'll be on too as well, and you know, it'll be us three. You know, I'm Cherokee. I think I want to say Dono is Ojibwe. I think I could be wrong. He could be something else. It's been a while since I've talked, I think he is, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I apologize. But I think he is. And then obviously you're Blackfeet. So we got three different parts of the, you know, of North America here that we're covering. And so for Halloween night, so we're going to be having a lot of crazy stories and spooky stories. And I have some stories I've never told, and I'm sure Rod has a few that he may have to pull out the bag. But that's going to be Halloween night. Us three gentlemen, we'll get at it, and I'll have a promo for that too, and it'll be on Facebook. So Yehola Tiger on Facebook or Warcry Podcast on Facebook. But kind of getting back to what you're talking about, you know, and the Goat Man. Another thing that I've heard, and this is interesting, I don't know if you've heard this before, but I know I mentioned Dogman, but I've heard here in the last couple weeks, I've talked to some people here in Oklahoma, and then I've heard some in Ohio, too, about this hyena-looking creature. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
No, I haven't.
You know, it's interesting, and I've never told this story on any podcast or any, I haven't told it fully, but I'm going to tell it here. And, you know, I was talking to somebody today actually about, this hyena creature type thing that basically the way it's described is it's got the hyena type body where the legs are short in the back,
mm-hmm.
and the front legs are longer, but it has like it's almost like a grin almost, I guess you could say. Like it's real ominous looking, but, I was at a big game animal reserve type thing where, you know, you pay to get in to see these crazy animals, out in Tuttle, Oklahoma. And I've never seen a hyena in person. Now, it didn't dawn on me how big they are, especially the females. Hmm. And me and my daughter at the time, she was just a little bit over one, I believe. She might have been almost one and a half, but she wasn't two yet. And so we're going out there. She might have been. The age is irrelevant, I guess. But she was a little, little. She's a little toddler. And so we're walking, and you kind of, I'm just like, are you seeing the animals? Just talking to her, and I see this big old fence, and it's real tall, like a real tall fence. And I'm thinking, oh, there's got to be a lion in here or something, because there's these multiple fenced cages, and it's real tall. And I like the way they had it. It was like a reserve, where it's like a game reserve. You see, it looks like natural, it looks like their natural habitat. And it's real big, and so they got room to run around. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there walking, and I get this sense in the back like something's behind me. And I'm not really one to jump. I don't really get spooked like that. But I turn around, and I look, and there's this female hyena basically crouched down on the other side of the fence. She was stalking my daughter. She said it was easy prey. And I look. And I was like, what in the world? And thankfully, like I said, there's a big, couple fences in between us. This thing can't get us. But that moment of fear that, like, oh, man, this thing is big. And it was big. And I couldn't even believe it, how big this animal was. And so a story that was, told to me by my grandpa on my mom's side. He was telling me one night one day he was checking ponds and he was just making sure they got a bunch of cattle out that way. And he was just kind of looking around, checking. And all of a sudden he looks on the river or on the pond bank and he looks over and he's like, what is that? And he's really looking. He gets his binoculars out and he describes almost like a hyena type creature.
Ooh.
And he's like, what? And so he had his dog with him, and his dog is, about a 50 to 60 pound dog. He's, that's a pretty decent sized dog. Domesticated dog anyways, but, so the dog, he's like, the dog gets out and he's looking, and I guess he got the scent of this animal or this creature, whatever this was. And that dog will attack anything. He is ruthless. If it's not another dog, it's anything else. It's a possum, coyote. He's killing it. Like, he's going after and he's killing it. He's going into the den. This dog is fearless. He's big old. He's country dog.
Yeah, a country dog. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast and he's mean too. He can be mean, but he's kind of a little crybaby when he don't get he don't get to go after things, kill things basically. It's crazy. Like, I've never seen a dog whine to kill something. That was crazy. I was like, man, this dude. I was like, ha. I was like, man, and luckily he's real sweet to the people. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's a protective thing, but that dog gets out and he sniffs the air and he realizes, no, this ain't something I'm messing with. He jumps in the little vehicle they were in, and he started crying, like whimpering, like crying bad, yeah. Like he was scared. And all of a sudden, my grandpa looks up, and this creature basically took off. He said, I don't know how many steps. He said less than 10 steps from the pond bank to the tree line. And it jumped. Basically, he said it looked like a cat. Like, it looked like a cheetah almost. Like, a cheetah runs, and it's, like, all spread out. Like, its body's all, spread out.
Yeah.
And it jumped. He said like 30 feet over, like from like the fence.
Whoa.
And from the jumping point, jumped over the fence 30 feet and then on the other side and was gone. He said it was like 2 seconds. And so he saw that. And then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, his buddy reached out to him and said, hey, have you seen that weird looking animal? And he's like, what did it look like? He kind of described how I just told you, told y'all. He said, man, he said, that thing was, he was like, it was big. He said, but man, it was so stinking fast. I couldn't believe how fast it was. And he said, he saw it underneath the light. It was trying to get into his barn, I think where his chickens were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was trying to get in there. And he said, basically he could see it underneath the light. And it, you know, ended up taking off, I believe. I had to get more information on that story specifically, but he saw it too. Well, I started, I was sitting there kind of thinking, and I've told this story before, but it got me thinking when I heard those stories about a time when I used to do kind of Lyft or Uber, you know, on the side to make a little extra money. And, I picked these two girls up, these little high school girls. I might have been, I don't know, high school girls, maybe college. I'm not really sure, but you know, they had me pick them up in a location where it didn't even show kind of on the map. Like the map was kind of glitching out. Like their location of where they were wasn't showing up on my map that I had. And so I'm driving down this road and it's out kind of South Tulsa. If y'all know where Bigsby's at, Bigsby, Oklahoma. And I'm driving down this road next to the river and I'm getting down here and I'm seeing all these beautiful mansion homes. But then as I keep going, you kind of get in the middle of, like, you kind of get off into nowhere basically. And all of a sudden I see a phone light come up from the, like this, it looked like a little indent road where, you know, where you can kind of park your car off to the side, you know, like, or like where if they're like, they're baling hay or something, you can kind of park up in there, mm-hmm. To get into a field, basically. And I see a phone line. I'm looking up, like, okay, I see him. And they jump in the car fast. I mean, and they were talking to each other real low. And so, you know, I ask them, you guys are headed to this, you know, just kind of, you know, trying to make sure we're going to the right place where I'm supposed to be dropping them off. And they were talking, and I'm eavesdropping. I'm just bored. You know, I had the music going, so I'm just kind of. And what piqued my interest, they said they saw a really big dog, but the dog didn't look like a dog, basically. And so in my head, I thought it was a dog man. You know, I'm like, damn, these girls out here saw a dog man. She said, but the car, there was a little car, that looked almost the same size as this car. And I'm like, man, there's no animal like that. You know, big cats don't get that big, you know, they don't get like tall, but they could see it over the hood of the car. And that's how they saw it. And the guys that were there at this little, I guess, get together party in this field, basically got this thing to get out of there. And they said they saw it. And it was like and the girl basically said it looked like a weird looking dog. And I'm in my head, I'm like, man. And so I brought it up to some people and they said that might have been a hyena. And I'm like, and I'm over here like a hyena in America, in North America. That don't make no sense. And then, you know, I started talking to some other people, thankfully through my podcast, I get, you know, people get a hold of me and tell me these things. So they hear me asking these questions, like, how in the world does this happen? Like, where? And I was, you know, got in touch with some people and they were telling me, and he was a endangered species biologist. And he was telling me that, basically that back in the day, and I don't know how long ago, but they used to have hyenas as like pups, and they were releasing them, and there's pockets of hyena population that could be in America still to this day. And I'm like, what? I couldn't believe it. But this, he said he had multiple accounts of people saying they saw something like what I'm telling, you know, what I just told you guys that people are seeing here in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I thought it was weird. I was like, man, that's interesting. But, you know, I haven't seen it, but my grandpa, he's in his 70s, you know, late 70s. He has seen everything and, you know, he has seen a lot of stuff. You know, he's seen every animal here in Oklahoma. You know, here in Oklahoma, they always say, oh, there's no such thing as a black panther. Well, there's people that have seen it. He's seen it. He's heard them cry in the night, like that jaguar cry type scream, like a woman's scream in the middle mm-hmm. of the night. And so, and, you know, I always do my research, and, I'm, you know, Oklahoma wildlife says, no, there's no such thing as a black panther. It's people are seeing a bear, but there's no bears up here where he lives. There's not a lot of. I guess you could say it's more of a kind of prairie land. Central Oklahoma is kind of the ending of the Great Plains, basically. You know, is that just kind of all flat land, basically. It's not real coniferous forest type. But if that's even, you know, like what I mean is just like dense brush, basically. A lot of more flat, you can see in front of you type, especially out in western Oklahoma. But I, you know, that's interesting, man. I don't know.
I wonder what that is. I wouldn't put it past, you know, because people are doing that. They're doing goofy things in nature, like that guy that bred that giant goat recently that they could hunt, and I want to say it was in Colorado, but it was like this giant mountain goat that he bred. He like spliced some genes and stuff, and he got in trouble over that. But no, I wouldn't put it past something like that, or even if it was some sort of a, you know, what we would call spirits or, you know, something like that, even. I wouldn't put it past that. Some sort of paranormal type thing either.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You know, and that's one thing, I just was talking to somebody, and I've had people reach out to me, you know, basically all weekend and all week. And somebody, you know, we kind of had that conversation, like, I'm often kind of wondering sometimes when people see these weird type of creatures out there that maybe, you know, there's some type of mimic spirit out there, you know, and I know there is mimic spirits out there. I'm just saying what they saw, because, you know, people tell me things and I'm like, what is that? I said, man, that sounds weird. Like, I have never, you know, I've never even heard of something like that. And they're like, you know, I'm like, I'm kind of in my head thinking maybe, you know, whatever spirit this is can get into your psyche and can and knows what you're scared of. You know, like, I've heard people talk about, you know, them seeing Bigfoot or Dogman in their bedroom, and they like almost have to like wake themselves up and it's gone. Mm-hmm. I've heard those stories before, you know, and but those things, like I said, not to get crazy on, you know, my podcast, we get kind of crazy with ideas on things, but I don't know what that could be, man. I know on my podcast I've talked about doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told this story on the podcast. I don't tell it once on my podcast. It's on I can't remember what episode, but I used to have people tell me that they see me over in some crazy town I hadn't been to in years. I've had people tell me that, like, hey man, I saw you over there at old what's his, you know, I'll give some random town, Haskell, Oklahoma. I saw you over at Haskell. What were you doing over there? I said, what? What are you? And like at the same time, I'm over and like I'm playing basketball in Tahlequah, like, you know, 100 miles away, you know, 3 or 4 hours away. And people be telling me, and you know, I had a lady reach out to me about a doppelganger who was in her town, and people basically it was kind of a weird story, but basically this person or whatever this thing was kind of not ruining her life, but kind of doing things to her life that wasn't quite, the best for her in her life. And people were saying that they were seeing her over here doing this. And she was like, I literally was here. I was over here, you know, at the house, or, you know, I had to pick my kids up in a different town, and people were, saying this, but this doppelganger was just like acting like, you know, normal, you know, just walk going through life. So, and also too, I also wonder too, you know, like I said, getting crazy on your podcast, but like maybe if it's like a different timeline, you know, maybe those things merge, you know, we don't know what's going on with the, you know, way the universe works sometimes, you know, it could have been, you know, somebody merging over to another timeline, parallel to, you know, it's out there too. That the research on that, there is multiple realities, is what they call it in science. Or, but I don't know, man. There's just a lot of weird stuff. You know, that person was telling me about a doppelganger, and then I had a Osage country. I had a lady reach out to me about a mimic spirit who was in her house. She had dealt with a lot of just crazy stuff going on, stuff moving around by itself, TVs turning on, doors closing, just all types of just spooky stuff. And And one night they were all laying, you know, her and her husband was laying in the bed, and they was getting ready to go to sleep, and it's real late. And all of a sudden they look over, and their son walked by the door.
Oh.
And so they were like, what? And so they would go over there, and they was like, okay, hey, what are you doing up? And it's like, you know, 2-3 in the morning, you know, just watching a late night movie or whatever. And he wasn't there. And so they went upstairs, and they was going to get on to him. You know, why are you up? And all of a sudden they looked in his room, and he was fast asleep. He was in there snoring. And she come to find out that this thing was mimicking people. So I was kind of wondering, I thought about asking her this question, but sometimes when people tell you things and they don't really, you know, I'm able to share that publicly, but you know, sometimes it's touchy, you know, with some of these stories, people are still affected by these things. And I didn't want to get into any like, hey, but I think, you know, she kind of alluded that maybe it was doing it to everybody. Cause there'd be times where like, you know, somebody would walk by out of the corner of their eye and they look and they're, oh, you know, so-and-so's home. And they'd go over there and there's nobody home, you know, kind of type of things. And so, but those mimic spirits are out there, man. It's creepy.
Yeah, they are. Like that one that was with me, I think I told it on your podcast, where I was in that old boarding school and it looked like my friend led me up the stairs and jumped out that window. I went out the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that same thing. But, you know, a lot of times, too, what I think happens is that our spirits are traveling. You know, they're traveling. So we could be awake. Not all the time when you're sleeping do your spirits just travel when you're asleep. We could be awake, too.
Mm.
And what we do when we travel, like actually travel, like say I'm going from one place to another. Say I'm going across state. I'll pray. For one, I'll pray for those animals. I'll pray for our safety, their safety, and all the other people on the road that we have a safe trip. And when I'm done with that, I'll call everybody by name in the car. You know, come on, Rod. You know, my wife, my four kids. I'll call them all by name. And if our animals are traveling, I'll even call their spirits. Say, come on, we're going to this place. Let's go now. It's time to go. You know, so you don't leave your... We believe there's, you know, you can leave your spirit sometimes. It'll want to stay. You'll have to call it with you. So sometimes I think that could be going on. Whereas as other times, I do think that there's because sometimes, well, a spirit's going to come, depending on what kind it is, it'll appear to you as something you can digest, something you'll understand, right? Like, because a lot of times, you know, from what... I guess I could say from just hearing people talk and share their experiences while they're out fasting or this or that, some of those spirits are really scary, you know, and just kind of out there looking. So, you know, that makes me think, and just hearing other people talk about it too, like, yeah, I guess the kind of loose consensus is that they'll appear as something you can understand. Whereas like... when my grandpa who had passed, he came to me in a dream. He didn't even look like himself, but I knew it was him. All he looked like was a ball of, like a small sun is how he looked, but not as bright and about the size of a beach ball. That's how he looked. And I knew it was him in my dream. I knew it was, I was asking him questions and things like that. But, you know, when he came to me, and you know, dreams are really powerful to us, especially when there are things like that. You know, we kind of can distinguish. You know, that's like a real dream. Whereas, like, if you're just having a regular old dream about your day and you're just having kind of like a mental dump in your dreams, you know, those are different. We don't really put too much weight into those. But these other ones, we do. And so I think that's just how he looked at the time. Or maybe that's how his spirit always looks. I mean, that's how we all look. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I understood what he was. Even though, you know, because I could feel who he was, not only just see him, I knew immediately who that was when he was coming up that field and into that house in my dream. But, so I think there is a few things going on with those types of spirits. And then there are those spirits that just mimic people to scare them, to get, you know, to invoke that fear response so that he could feed off that energy. They like that. Mm-hmm. That's what they kind of... makes them go around, you know. And I mean, there's one of those in my brother's house now. I don't know its purpose. We kind of didn't really get that far with it yet, but it'll make itself look like one time it made itself look like his daughter, and the mother was his wife was, you know, hurry up, come here, something like that, trying to call her over there, and she just walked back into the room. Well, all that time she was sitting out in the car waiting for her mom, and her mom was like, wait a minute, what are, went into that room, she wasn't there. I think that's how the story goes. And so things like that were happening. He would see another daughter walk by the room, go in there, nobody in there. And he also sees this little girl, which I'm not sure if it's the same spirit, but it's really like fascinated with his fish tank at night. And that fish tank's in his room. So there'll be a little bit of light on it in there. And she'll be kneeling down just staring at it. He'll wake up sometimes and see her looking in his fish tank. So I don't know if that's the same spirit and that's how she really looks. Who knows? But there is something in there that makes itself look like other people, you know, mimic. I don't know what the actual definition of doppelganger is, but in our way, usually when you see yourself, it's something, it doesn't mean it. It's not a good sign when you see yourself. Mm-hmm. It usually, it's pointing toward death of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really not a good thing to see.
Yeah, that's all, you know, just talking about culture, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people's culture, you know, over in the European early days, you know, when you saw yourself in public, it meant it was coming close for you. Like your end is going to be met. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, when the settlers and colonizers came over here and they were doing their thing to, you know, native people, you know, they brought those ways with them, you know, as well. And I get, you know, I know I'm not really going to touch on this topic really too much speaking about, but I know people bring up the Wendigo a lot and they kind of get those mixed with the SW.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are separate. They're not the same. But I know the Wendigo is something that people always equate, you know, to like French type lore. I know the French have their, I guess, quote unquote Wendigo type creature, and you know, like the movie Antlers, you know, that bad spirit, you know, that takes over somebody and makes them, you know, do things that they normally wouldn't do. But no, it's just interesting to know and to do some research that a lot of our stuff, you know, like little people, I hear, you know, European people call them the Fae, especially the Irish and the Scottish people.
Yeah.
They call it the Fae. And, you know, that's one thing that I was always told growing up about little people was that they could almost kind of bend time a little bit. Like, it's like if I folded a piece of paper up, stabbed a pencil through it, and then, you know, basically move through the piece of paper, and that's like time, basically. They can, you know, landmass too. You know, they crunch it up, walk, you know, take a step over, and then undo it, and then they're not, you know, miles away. You know, I've heard that, you know, them doing that to people.
That's,
I'm not really sure if, yeah, I've heard that a lot. And my aunt, she knows some things. I'm not going to, you know, get into it too much, but, you know, we were sitting there talking at Father's Day, you know, a couple of years ago out in Eufaula, and she goes, you know, they open portals, right? And I said, who? Those little people. I said, what makes you think that? She says, how do you think that, you know, when people get lost, they're like 20 miles away, you know, and they've been gone. I said, well, I, you know, I sat there and thought, you know, I just take in the information because, you know, she'd been around a long time and been around a lot of, you know, different medicine people and, you know, things like that. And so I just listened, you know, yeah, you know, it makes sense too, though, because, you know, people get lost. You know, they, you know, it could be that they crunch up the lands, take a step over, bring you with them, and then they release it back. And now you're, you know, away from your family. And, but, you know, that's another thing that I've heard about them too, is that, and I know we mentioned it on your, or on my, on your episode of my podcast, is that, you know, there's two different kinds. There's obviously a balance, a good and evil. or good and bad. I don't want to say evil, but good and bad. And I've been told that the good ones, they look, you know, real pristine. They look real keen. They look good. You know, they look how they're supposed to look. And the not so good ones, the bad ones, they kind of look disheveled. They don't really look that good. They don't take on a good form, I guess you could say. Maybe they don't have the full garb on, or like, you know, it looks kind of not keen looking, not real sharp. But I've heard those things too. And one thing I was always told is to leave it how you got it when you got there. I was always told that in the woods, and if I ever was on, you know, at Merle Home Park, I see something that looks enticing and I'll mess with it. You know, another thing, you know, basically just leave it how it was. And, you know, I have people that reach out to me and say, oh, you know, I like doing arrowhead hunting. And I'm like, man, you trying to get into some mess. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, you know, you know, back in the old days, that arrowhead could have been meant for an enemy, and that arrowhead may have some medicine on it. Or, you know, I can say that with your podcast, because a lot of people have to say magic, you know, or have to use the new age magic. You know, I got to say that, because people don't understand. They think I'm just saying like pills or something, you know?
Yeah.
But that medicine, they put that medicine on it to get the arrow to its destination, which is always, you know, could be an enemy. And people pick up those arrowheads and they wonder why their life is in turmoil. Now, the arrow didn't pierce them physically, but it pierced them spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, because they carry it, and it's not meant for them. It's not for them. And so people always ask me, oh, you know, I've been collecting arrowheads. I said, well, I kind of ask them, you know, how are you doing? You doing all right? Oh, you know, my wife left me. I lost my house. You know, they start going down like, oh, I'm not doing too good health wise. And I'm just like, I said, do you have, and I always ask them, do you go out arrowhead hunting? Or people, they tell me they do. I'm like, go back to where you put it. You know, go back to where you found it and put it back. And I've had some people tell me like, oh yeah, well, you know, I went and did that once I found out that that's not what I'm supposed to do, because those things are not meant for you. An example of that in kind of newer age days is, you know, I don't know if I'm getting too risky here, but I'm going to say it anyways, but the Oklahoma Girl Scout murders that happened, you know, back in the day, with Gene Leroy Hart. Hmm. He was out, and this is where it kind of hits close for home for me, because where he was hiding out in the Cookson Hills is kind of where my grandma, her family, you know, in that same area, and so they knew things. They knew, you know, things about Mr. Hart, and I'm not really sure. She passed when I was a junior in high school, so I didn't really get a chance to hear none of those things, because she was a little, you know, she was younger when that was going on. But dang, she would tell me stories about they'd be doing blockades and making people pay to go down a road. I was like, ah, that's crazy. Or they'd be telling, like, I heard, you know, back when I was younger, you hear like those old days where, you know, they say, oh, you can't go down this road, or like they play pranks on people, but out that way. But Harvey Pratt, I can't remember what tribe he's with or what nation he's with, but he went to his people and was like, hey, I'd like, you know, I need some help finding this man. And they said, well, you know, we're going to help you put some medicine on your bullet so you can find him. And, you know, sure enough, it led him to the right path, and that's when they arrested him, was after he did that. And one thing that was so crazy about that, this is, you know, it's more modern day, but it's not really that modern day. It's about, you know, it's over 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of the, you know, what I can, you know. But there was different things that people, you know, they were finding out, you know, that he was doing. And like, one thing that I always talk about that kind of makes me, it's kind of crazy to think about it now. But like, Gene Hart would be, basically he'd be taunting the police. He'd just be like, oh, you know, you ain't going to catch me if I don't want you to catch me, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And so he'd stand right in front of the police department, taunting them. And they'd say, oh, there he is right there. Let's go get him. And then he'd disappear, and he'd be like, 5 miles down the road on trail on train track. Like they said, he could travel. You know, they say he could travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk about, you know, that people always say, well, how did I had someone ask me one time, like, you told a story about your relatives whose grandpa could travel faster than a car. And I said, yeah. I said, what do you want to know about? How do they do that? I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not into, I don't do medicine like that. I don't do medicine at all, you know,
mm-hmm.
In that type of way. But like, I was always told, and the story was always told to me that, you know, those old time native preachers, Indian preachers at these Indian churches. But my relative was telling me that basically every Sunday morning and every time they go to church, they'd say, hey, Grandpa, come on, get in the car. We'll give you a ride. He said, nah, I'll get there for y'all, Will. And he ain't got no car. Like, he just, you know, the car, like, they had one car in the family. And so they'd be like, are you sure? Yeah, I'll be there. And next thing you know, he'd be like, they'd pull up to the church and he's already there.
Yeah, that's medicine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. But, and then one thing, too, and now I've heard this from about this specific preacher, you know, in my family, that somebody saw him going down the road one time, and they said, man, he was going real fast. It was like he was running like 40 miles an hour, basically. And when they got up to him, they could see he was like a half inch off the ground, just going. I was like, man. That's out in
Tahlequah
area.
Yeah, that's medicine, all right. That you know, I think, remember we were talking on your podcast, but that's how I think that, you know, that Emoyutipi, that Bigfoot travels too. He's got medicine like that that allows him to go really far, really fast, and sometimes just basically we would think teleport, you know. They don't even need to go, like, walk. They could just appear there. There's all kinds of ways that, you know, they travel like that, and that's medicine. That's that old medicine, you know. And if somebody ever wanted to seek it out today, they could still seek it out. All of these things are still in the mountains. They're still in these places where people used to fast, and you know, they're still around. And same with those, going back to what you're talking about with bringing things into your house, in this case arrowheads, you're not supposed to do that. You at least smudge them off, you know, before you bring them in, because you're easily bringing an attachment into your house that can then, you know, it's attached to that object. Then once you allow it into your house, it's free to roam, do whatever it wants to do. And if you're ever in doubt, of course, just leave it there. But if you need to have whatever you're taking, smudge it off, leave it outside your house. If it's still there in 4 days, then it's probably okay to bring it in. You know, if it didn't leave, if it's still there after 4 days, it should be all right. That's kind of how I've heard you should go about handling things like that. Now, as far as that medicine that goes where those arrowheads won't miss or anything, those are still, you know, I just heard about it recently, a couple instances of them recently where, you know, in some of our bundles that we still have today, there are arrows in there that are just like that. They don't miss. Yeah, there's still things like that today. And I just bringing that up because people will think, you know, well, what is medicine? And like you said, a loose translation would be magic, but it's really not like that. It's you know, like how we think of magic, right? It's like these spells and this whatever, and it happens because it's, well, it's magic. Well, in these other cases, it's because those spirits are allowing you to do that. They're helping do it. That's how medicine works. It's those spirits have given you the right to do this certain thing, and they're the ones that step in and make it possible. And I don't know how that works. I've always kind of, in my mind, when I get crazy and I start thinking crazy things, I try to put two and two together, like, how do those spirits influence our physical world? How do they do that? By just these simple things you do, they teach you. They're really simple, but in order to do those things, this happens. But I really separate the tradition from the science in my mind. I separate the two. Believe in both, but I keep them separate. See, because it'll, to me, it'll make me run myself ragged going in circles thinking about it. I'll think, okay, so according to all of these theories of multiple universes, that there's infinite possibilities in everything. So are you saying that you taught me if I do this one thing in a specific order, it's going to alter my timeline so that that happens and that's possible and that's what's happening? You know, like I could really think this, like, drive myself nuts thinking about it. But
yeah, it's like one of those, like, you make one decision over here, like, you know, you that decision you just made to open up the cabinet and grab that cereal.
Yeah.
And it altered another timeline's entire day.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that.
See, that's why I keep them separate, and I just accept that those spirits have given you that gift and just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and that's one thing that, you know, talking about that, and I liked it, the way you touched that about medicine, because I never have a good way to explain it to non-natives, and that's the thing that I think I get a little bit, when I do go on podcasts that don't understand Native American culture, or even natives in general, like the way we talk, you know, we got a certain slang to us. We have a little bit of a, you know, way we talk to each other and, mm-hmm. and the way we describe things. And, I don't want to say it irks me, but it just, they take it and misconstrue it. Like, one thing that I've said, I get non-native, especially, country guys, country folk, people out in the sticks, they say, oh, you know, Bigfoot's flesh and blood. And I'm like, and that's, you know, a science thing for them. Because it makes sense. This thing is leaving footprints, you know, hair follicles on barbed wire fences. I get that. I understand that. You know, but like we talked about on my podcast when you were on, is they know things. Mm-hmm. They know how to manipulate. I think that, like I said, time, space, in terms of like where they're at. So like they could be in a field in Oklahoma and make their way to somewhere in Arkansas and quickly, basically.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, they run fast. I said, but you know, the science doesn't make sense on that, because animals that big, or, you know, beings or creatures that big, they need a lot of food to do that, to run or hike, or, you know, that's just natural science. Your body needs to be fueled. So, but people misconstrue when I say when Bigfoot are they're like their own little tribe. Cherokees, we kind of call them secret tribe or hidden tribe. Mm. And they are kind of, like, we've always known they're there. We leave them alone, you know, they do their thing, we do our thing. And then when our paths cross, we respect. It's all about respect.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that, you know, I used to kind of get a good, you know, good laugh at finding Bigfoot. You know, that big old guy, Bobo.
Yeah.
Then he'd be up there screaming, man. Like, you're up there screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. He's scaring them all away. They're like, man, who's this white guy out here just yelling like this? But yeah, I always kind of laugh at that, because I'm like, that's not how you do that. And, you know, I talk to people who see these things all the time. Like, one person asked me, well, why do you think I see them all the time? I said, because they want you to see them. There's something that maybe they're, I don't know if it's a communication thing. I said, but these beings, you know, all of be, if they're physical or spiritual or, you know, all the above, you know, they're from space. I know people talk about them coming from space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're from a different dimension or whatever. You know, I don't know. I truly don't know. I only know what's in front of me, you know, and from what I was told and the stories I'm told, you know, they got this ancient knowledge, this hidden knowledge that maybe we lost over the years, you know, due to residential schools or, you know, losing basically a quarter of our population on removal for my people. You know, even actually more than a quarter, you know, once they got here, you know, people end up missing, like Osages, people end up dying just randomly because, oh, they got oil on their land now. So yeah. Those things happen. And those, that knowledge, it goes with that person. And so that's, you know, I believe that Bigfoot, like they said, they're a hidden tribe. They know how to stay hidden. That's why they're, you know, they're, you know, that's why they're able to be, to elude, you know, mechanical, digital type stuff. You know, it's just like ghosts. You know, people take a picture of an orb and they're, oh, it's a ghost right there. But how, you know, it could have been a hair fall. You know, it could have been a piece of dust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you know, unless you have, I don't know, high tech stuff, maybe that ain't even, you know, it's hidden. You know, the government has it, and they're not giving it to regular everyday people. But you know, it's just, it's all about if they want you to see them. And you know, there's a guy I interviewed out of Indiana. He sees them quite a bit. Like, I mean, he doesn't see them in full. You know, he can see them. You know, like they're there. He knows they're there. You know, and he's seen it. He's seen footprints of a juvenile, which that's not really a common thing. People say that they see little, you know, little bitty Bigfoots running around, but he had a footprint he sent me, and I was really like, wow, that's legitimate. Like, who is out in the middle of Indiana, in the middle of nowhere, barefoot like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the footprint's like nine foot long, you know? It's like, who's out here barefoot in the middle of nowhere, you know, type thing. But I do believe they know things. And just like us, you, natives, we, my gift isn't medicine. My gift is storytelling. My gift is the gift of gab. I can talk. I remember things. People tell me things and I remember them, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's my gift, you know, and your gift is similar, you know, to mine. You are a storyteller. You have this podcast and you relay things that's been told to you and you share that information. You know, there's people that are beaters, you know, there's people that are good at dancing. There's good at people that can do hair. You know, there's just, everyone has their thing, and medicine's is a thing that we have, you know, in our culture and who our people are. I think it's similar with Bigfoot too. I think, you know, not everybody over there knows things. You know, they're just, you know, like us, we just go through our lives and we try to do the best we can, I guess. You know, I kind of believe that, you know, when people say, oh, this thing just literally jumped over the fence and disappeared, you know, maybe you ran into one of those ones that knows things. I don't know. You know, it's just, you can go down a big old rabbit hole and I want to preface this by saying, I don't know everything. I kind of just, you know, people tell me things and I, you know, I hear a lot of things about Bigfoot people. You know, I've talked to a lot of Bigfoot people. And I'm not by any means an expert on any of these, you know, but I just, it's the information that's given to me. And, it, you know, I try to do my best with the things that I've experienced and we're told, you know, by people to, you know, to kind of look out for.
You know, that really makes me think about the, you know, the duality. Everything in nature has got a life force or a spirit. You know, how a lot of native tribes look at this world and this existence. You know, there's a spirit to everything. It makes me think, well, if you see something physical here, then it has to have a spirit of some kind. So that's what makes me think, just from my, I guess, my native bias, is that Bigfoot can be a physical and spiritual thing. It can be all, like you said, all of the above. It can be it all. And that makes me wonder about other things. What about the little people?
Mm-hmm.
Were there once little people, like in our, where we come from, they're like only a foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Were there once people like that because their spirits are still here? And then I start going crazy with those thoughts. So I only go so far with them, because then I start thinking, well, when these people that practice those Western religions and they believe in demons, are demons the spirits of dinosaurs? You know, I could go crazy with this stuff.
Yeah,
but no, I
but, you know, even but even with that, you know, I had just had a guy on who is, you know, he deals with the demonic, you mm-hmm. know, in that type of spiritual way. And you know, do I believe everything that he's telling? Or you know, do I believe his belief? No, but I do believe that there is a creator out there, and there's something to all these little, you know. You know, I hear stories from people, and I've gotten stories from people that would tell me, you know, that, you know, a story I'll tell now is, you know, since we're on the topic of, you know, demon type possession. This is at a high school Indian school in Kansas.
Oh.
There was a young lady who, she would, go to these meetings, and it, you know, she was real Christian, you know, it was Christian type, you know, meeting, and they would, you know, pray together and kind of just support each other and do, you know, those types of things. And you know, one day a girl walks in and she got a weird feeling from her, real kind of nervous feeling from her, this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman came in there and they prayed over her, and she said that after they got done, you know, praying over this woman and just basically lending her some energy is what I call it. People say it's prayers, you know what I'm saying? But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm spiritual. I'm not really religious in that sense, but I understand and I respect anyone who, you know, has a that type of, you know, way about them. You know, I respect everybody who has, you know, when it's something they believe in, but they started, you know, sending prayers her way and really just, you know, and she was sweating. This woman was just going through it. And by the time that they were over, you know, she looked at her, she said she looked different. She didn't look like the way she came in. I think this is in the 90s at Haskell. And this Haskell's got a lot of weird stuff. I don't really know a lot of stories about Haskell. I know there's a lot of ghost stories, but just getting on that topic, you know, I'll be short because I could talk about that stuff. Because it's interesting to me because it makes me kind of think about my beliefs and my spirituality and what I believe in. Because do the demon thing to me? I make it cartoonish in my head. You know, I think at the red devil with the, you know, with the horns and the pitchfork. And that, I don't know why I always think of that, but you know, but I brought this up to him. Off the air, the gentleman I had, I said, you talk about these spirits and these demons that enter these people's bodies, and they affect them. I said, would that be like, you know, when someone, like I brought to him, like it was like, a, you know, we talk about winter spirits,
mm-hmm.
You know, depression is a winter spirit, you know, where you get real low because it's there's no sun. It's like a nature thing, you know, in the wintertime you get less sun because it's dark, you know, more, you know, during the summertime, you know, you kind of get gluttonous because you start eating a bunch, you know, because it's, you know, it's nice out, all the animals are out, you know, this goes back to the old days.
Yeah.
You know, there's different seasonal spirits. And my thought was like, well, do you think, I think it is those spirits, but I think those spirits can be more than one. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he was like, that makes sense. He said, you know, I always say this, but I was like, a lot of our beliefs come from somewhere and it could be, you know, the beliefs could be coming from natives or it could be, you know, it could be, you know, it could be coming from anybody, you know, the ancient people, the before native or indigenous people were labeled that, you know, before we were writing on tablets, you know, before, you know, it could have been those old ancient beings, you know, that, you know, they can multiply, they can divide, you know, they can do, they can add and they can subtract, you know, and only certain ways to get rid of them. But I don't know, man, it's a very, that topic has kept me up at night. I'm not gonna lie to you. There's been nights where I've just sat, you know, I've laid in bed and, you know, I'm laying there and I'm just like, man, like, there's a few questions when I go, man, I'm going to be asking, is Bigfoot, like, what, Bigfoot real? What's going on in the crypto world? And what's the angels and demon thing? Like, that's what I want to know, you know, that type of questions I got. And also, too, I want to know, like, another question too I want to know is what did it look like before, you know, before we were able to record history? That's what I want to know. You know, that's kind of weird things to talk about, but it's like you, man, I get down these rabbit holes and sometimes I for real can't sleep because I'm just really wondering like, why, like, you know, what is going on? And so that's why I talk to different people because I'm like, man, maybe this person has a little bit of information that makes sense, you know, for this puzzle. Like, it's like a puzzle, basically, you know, trying to figure things out.
Like with us, in my tribe, you know, anything like a demon, we would just call it simply a bad spirit. We wouldn't, you know, we don't have that word in Indian for demon. That's a mm-hmm. English word, or I don't know where it comes from, but it's not a Blackfeet word. But, you know, we just call them a bad spirit, and that's kind of, kind of how we look at those things. And same with, I guess a comparison to an angel would be the good spirits in general. But there's a lot of different types of spirits that we interact with, you know, as natives that are around here. Of course, it's the elements and it's the animals, it's the plant, all the life forms. We've had relationships with those types of spirits, and they've helped us in certain ways. Like, you know, the wolf has taught us how to hunt and how to clothe ourselves, and, you know, these things, how to make war, how to defend ourselves. They've taught us that. And I'm not talking sitting there as a biologist up on a hill taking notes, watching them and learning from them. No. Mm-hmm. Their actual spirits have talked to our ancestors in the past and told them, this is how you do this. This is how this is done. You know, they've given them, that's where we got our, and from the Blackfeet, that's where we got our first painted lodges, was from the predator animals that were out there, which is, you know, wolverine, the mink, weasel, you know, all these different ones. Even the skunk gave something to us back then. Mm. This is the story, what I'm referring to is our story of the wolf trail, which is that pathway you take, your soul takes when you leave here and you go to the future world or to the sand hills or to heaven, as other people call it, you know. That future world where you go to, there's a pathway, and that's the story of it, is when those animals helped us out. So in our way, when I make comparisons and I think about how this goes, I think, okay, so these angels, they call on them to help them in certain situations. Well, we have that too, but it's these animals that kind of help us, or the elements, you know, like thunder, water, the earth, or the fire. You know, we'll call on things like that to help us with these too. We're calling on those life forces that exist in there, those spirits. We're calling on those to help us and guide us. And I noticed, like, the archangel, is it Michael, the one that helps them in war? Mm-hmm. Well, we call on those war spirits too, and a lot. And it's funny because, you know, they're not these big, I don't mean to cuss, but these big badass spirits. They ain't these big, no, they're small. Like a weasel.
Mm-hmm.
A weasel is really a powerful war medicine in our way. You know, that's why if you look at these old pictures of Blackfeet, a lot of them are wearing many weasel tail suits. And those suits, where we seen those from what I understand, according to our stories, where we first seen that suit was when we got the Sundance, ultimately. There's a whole story to that, but on one of those, this man was over in the spirit world, over in the creator's land, and he was walking on this trail, and he seen one of those, a mini weasel tail suit on the ground, and it belonged to the creator's son, which is the morning star, and that's his name, Ipisuatsin. That was his suit. But anyways, these things that we call upon to help us are usually the life forces of the animals, the things in nature, we use those. So when I make those comparisons, they're like the same. And see, what always kind of fascinated me was, well, look, these, because I look at it from this lens, right? Like, look at these non-natives over here. They're all getting spooked, and there's a spirit that jumped in someone over there. Wonder what they're going to do about it. And they all start talking and chanting this name. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They say things like that. And just from them saying that word, Jesus, that bad spirit leaves that person. There's something to their way. There's a bit of power in what they're doing there. I may not understand it, or how they do that, or like what, I mean, does it just involve faith? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't try to understand it either, but all I recognize is there's something to that, because they're chasing a bad spirit out of a person just by saying a name. There's something to that. And plus that spirit of Jesus, it actually came to one of the people in my tribe, actually a couple people in my tribe, and the elders were talking about that, and they said it's rare that different spirits, these well, they said white people's spirits come to us, but sometimes they do, and sometimes there's a crossover there. It's rare, but it happens. So do I believe that there was really a Jesus? I do. And I don't know those stories about him that are in the book. I don't really know all that. and how all that comes to be. I just believe that there is a spirit like that somewhere that they call upon that helps them, just the way we do when we need help with something. They have the same thing. And one guy told me he's actually a I've heard it in a few places, but the one time I remember recently, a guy named Brother Richard, and he's a Franciscan monk from France. And when he was speaking one time, he said, is it France? I can't remember where exactly he's from. Somewhere over in Europe. Is it Ireland? Anyways, when he was speaking, he said, there are many paths, you know, and I've heard this before, there are many paths to the same source. So all these religions that are practicing something, they're all geared toward one source, right? In the universe or in existence, there's one source that they're all tapping into. And so there's many pathways to that. There's, you know, you got us, the native, like, you look at the Blackfeet way versus, say, even the Cree way. Their ceremonies are different. We don't mix those ceremonies together, per se, like, and, you know, we don't, like, we wouldn't be singing our Blackfeet songs in, a Cree sweat unless we were asked to do so. Those are kind of separate. So what I'm saying is their ways are just as powerful as ours. We recognize that. They have war medicine too. All these other tribes have had things like that, you know. And some of them lost it, like the people in Alaska. They've lost their medicine. They don't have any more up there. They don't have medicine the way we do down here. You know, the Russians really, really oppressed them with that religion. And they took it away from them. They stripped it from them. But that's not saying what they have now isn't powerful. It is in its own right, you know. I'm not knocking any of that. Their beliefs are their beliefs, and I'm not trashing anybody's beliefs. But in the end, there's power in all of these, I think, because one time I heard, oh, well, according to statistics, if everybody is saying everybody else is saying I'm right and everybody else is wrong, and every religion saying that, according to statistics, they're all wrong. I think that's opposite. I think they all got power. They're all right in some way, shape, or form. And they all tap into that source. You know, it's kind of what I think.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm with you on that, man. I've seen, you know, different people, you know, practice different things. And, you know, I was always told growing up that you don't mix, though. You don't mix the different practices. And I know people who have done that. And, you know, I always get kind of nervous around them. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, did not get kind of weirded out by it. Because, you know, I know I'll be brief about this. But, you know, I know somebody who, you know, the mountain medicine or the mountain magic is what they call it out there in the Appalachians. You know, those old ways out there. And then mixing that with Indian medicine.
Oh,
you know, and there's things that I've experienced with this person that I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the right way, but to each his own, I guess. But I tell him, I said, don't bring it and don't do it around me, man, because that's all I got. That's all I got to tell you. We're going to have some problems. But
but
he was always nice to me. But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's another precaution, too, though, is when that's why, like, a lot of these natives that, you know, we have medicine and stuff in our tribes, those people that are close to it are really know a lot about it, they won't share with just anybody. I mean, we can talk about it in general terms like we are, but I'm talking about the actual ways to do these things. They won't share that. They won't share how that's actually done. And it's for a reason. Things like that, people will start, you know, just using it as they see fit. And so it's only, you're only trusted to it if they see that you're right and that you're okay. And you're tested. You're actually tested. Like, there's a long time, you know, that you got to live your life in a good way, and you got to show certain knowledge about certain things. It's not just given to you. You know, they'll send you on a path to be tested too. You know, they'll send you on that. You know, build me, you know, sponsor the Sundance and build me 3 lodges. You know, you'll have to do 3 years of those, and they'll watch everything you do. Be the head of this. Do that before I give you this. And, you know, there's a way to go about that, that they weed the people out that shouldn't have those rights. But that's one of those precautions that they take. They won't just hand it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of things like that. Or the occult getting a hold of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, there's a gentleman, the same gentleman I was telling about, or talking about, you know, when he's casting out those demons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't remember the native people that were over there, but out in Ohio, but, you know, they were mixing Amish witchcraft with native medicine out there. And those things are, you know, real. He had a lot of issues with it, you know, them mixing those things. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Anyways,
again, tell everybody where they can find you and what your podcast is.
Yeah, man. So the War Cry podcast is available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and a few other places. Just type in War Cry podcast, it'll pop right up for you. Yehola Tiger on Facebook. Send me a message while you add me. If you don't send me a message and you added me on Facebook, you're gonna be sitting in the friend request, because you know you got people out there just trying to, you know, troll or whatever. I ain't about it, man. I don't really do that. But yeah, send me a message. Let me know, you know, where you heard me from, especially if it's from Lodge Tales. Let's see here. TikTok Warcry Pod. I post snippets of episodes on there. Rod's got a few clips up there talking about little people. Trying to think of where else I'm at. Oh, if you have a story or an encounter or anything that you want to talk about, send me a message on Facebook, Yehola Tiger, or Warcry Podcast on Facebook, or email me, realwarcrypod@gmail.com.
Yet Yehola Tiger, you can find him anywhere you get your podcasts. He's out there, and he does strange things as well on his podcast, and it's really a good podcast. His a good show, and he's always busting out content. He always has really interesting guests. So if you're thirsty for more, go find Yehola Tiger. And we've been collaborating. I've been on his podcast too. So yeah, go check out his show. He's got some good stuff going on with his. And you know, down the road, I hope to get more and more podcasts out there, you know, some really good ones. And it's hard to get some people to talk about these things, I understand that. But I would encourage you all, if you have stories, just please share them with me. Get a hold of me. We can set up a time and we can record these shows, and I'd really appreciate it, because I think your stories need to be heard. You know, the things that you're willing to share and that you can share, I think we should share them. You know, you should share them with the world and allow everybody to get in on it and just get a glimpse into the life of these indigenous type stories, ghost stories and things like that. So again, I appreciate everybody for listening, for always supporting the show. All of our brothers and sisters that are overseas and all of our brothers and sisters across the world, including right here in Blackfeet country. I appreciate you all, and thanks for listening. Until next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.